Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you the fifth and sixth Mishnah of the fifth chapter of Bava Metzia for OU Shnayim Mishnah program. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we saw that you can raise somebody animals for a share of the profits, but only if the value of the livestock is not estimated ahead of time, which really means that the keeper is not taking any responsibility for the loss, and therefore it's not considered a loan. They're just simply taking a profit for good work, and therefore rebate doesn't become a problem. With that alone, then the profits from it or taking care of the animals for the sake of a loan is not a problem because there's no loan. Now, in the previous Mishnah, the one before that, if you had estimated the price of the animals and said, hey, we're going to split whatever profit you can make by improving the quality of these animals, that you can't do since essentially you're taking care of half of the animals which belong to the other guy for the loan that you're taking from him for the other half of the animals that you are taking care of and you're going to profit from. However, this Mishnah is going to explain that there is in fact a situation where you can split the profits and still do this estimation of the items, and even though there's a loan involved, you don't have to worry that taking care of the other guy's animals is a payback for the loan. And here's the case: Shamin para v'chamor v'chol davar shu osev ochel lemechza. So you can estimate the value of a cow or a donkey or anything that by working it oseh you can eat from it or ochel, split its profits. Because when you're taking care of a cow, not only are you taking care of it, but it's giving you the immediate back benefit of the milk that it produces, or it could plow your fields, and therefore you're not saying that you're working the animal and taking care of the animal and improving the quality of the animal because the owner has given you a loan that you're going to profit from, which he has. But the reason why you're taking care of the animals is because you get a benefit right now for what these large animals are doing for you. So therefore, the payback is not for the loan. The payback is from the animals. You get a payback from the animals, and therefore, taking care of the animals is not for the sake of the loan, but it's the sake of the payback they're getting for the animals. And that's why we're talking about a para and a chamor, as opposed to the previous mission where you're talking about an eagle and a siach. An eagle is a baby cow, essentially a useless cow. You can't get any work done out of it. It doesn't give you any kind of immediate profits. And so too, a siach, a baby donkey, is useless. It can't carry goods. Only an adult one can carry goods. And therefore, when you were taking care of them, it couldn't have been because you were directly benefiting from them. It must have been, unless it was stipulated ahead of time that it was just because you were doing work, it must have been because the guy had given you animals that you were going to make a profit off of in the future, and therefore it's a loan. In this case, because you can benefit immediately from the animals, that's why you're taking care of them, and it's okay. Not only that, but makom shenagu lechalek et avladot miyad cholkin, makom shenagu legadel yigdalu. So, and not only that, in a place where you are accustomed not only to split the baby calves, but to raise the baby calves, and then you take, let's say the cow had four calves, so you raise it for a year or two, and that's the general policy. It's just something you did. That is, even though you were only working for the sake of taking care of the cows, when the cows had babies, it was the custom of the place to take care of the babies and even raise the babies, and then you split the profits. So in that case, you can, if you take a loan on these issues, that is, you agree to split the profits and you make an estimation of the cow's value, and then the cow has a baby, you're taking care of the baby, so you may think, wait a second, the baby's not giving me any benefits right now, so now I'm taking care of the baby because of the loan that I'm getting, that I could get a future profits out of these animals by splitting the profits 50-50. And the answer is no, because even if you weren't working for a loan, you were just working in general and you were a caretaker of animals, since the general policy of that place is to take care of the babies when they're born, as part of the benefit that you're also taking care of cows that could plow your fields and give you milk or whatever it is. So therefore, since the babies in that case are part of the overall deal for the mother cow, once again, you can split the profits even though you're taking care, and what that means, benefit from a loan, even though you're giving back the guy a little bit of benefit for raising his newborn animals. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shamim Egel Im Imo, Usiach Im Imo. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's case is not where the baby is born while you were taking care of, so you could certainly split the profits for a cow. Why? Because the fact that you're raising the cow, you, the gamekeeper, raising the cow, is not because of the loan that you're taking that you're going to profit off the animal, but it's because the cow can plow your fields. And we saw in the previous case that not only that, but if the cow has a baby and it's part of the stipulation that you take care of the babies, so that's okay also. That's not considered to be rebate or interest on the loan. So Rabbi Gamliel goes so far as to say that if you're making the original estimate, so we know that you're allowed to make an original estimate on a cow, and that's all right, but not on a calf, which is useless because then you're just taking care of the cow for the sake of the loan. So what if you have a calf with a cow together, the mother and the child, or a donkey and a seah? So according to Rabbi Gamliel, you could do that. You could estimate the value and take care of those animals because it would be like a case where the animal had a baby while it was in your possession. But we don't follow Rabbi Gamliel, and that would be considered rebate on the loan or rabbinic rebate on the loan because you're taking care of little baby cows and little baby donkeys along with the mothers, but the little babies have no use for you whatsoever. And since they were born before you took them, at the time you took them, then that is not okay. Finally, umafriz al sadehu ve'eno choshesh mishum ribit. So similarly, let's say you're a sharecropper, a choker, and you want to increase the value of the field, mafriz al sadehu. So how do you do that? So the Gemara explains you take a loan. You ask for a loan from the owner of the field that you're sharecropping. And again, how sharecropping works, actually I didn't mention, so I shouldn't say again, how sharecropping works is you are working the guy's field not for essentially a fixed amount or percentage of the crops that you grow. So let's say you are a sharecropper of a field and you are willing to sharecrop at 10% of the total volume that you work. So if you grow 100 tons, you get to keep 10 tons if you're working at 10% sharecrop. So in this case, the field's not such good quality, so you don't have money yourself. It's the owner of the field that is cash rich, and you say, listen, give me 200 bucks, and with the 200 bucks, I'll spread manure all over the property. It'll increase the value of the property, and instead of me paying you back 10% of the sharecropping, I'll give you 12% of the sharecropping. So you might think that this is ribbit because he's loaning you $200-$300, whatever it is, to improve the field, and you're now paying back more than you had originally stipulated when you took the sharecropping deal in the first place. And the answer is, the Mishnah says you don't have to worry about that. Why? Because it's not really a loan. What you're really saying to the owner is, listen, if you give me money and we turn this field into a higher quality field, then you'll benefit because I'll give you the 12%, and I'll benefit because I'll be able to get an extra 10% of volume of goods that I could get to grow from this field. And therefore, since I can produce extra, it's really me that's benefiting and not you. And therefore, the loan isn't there really to loan money. The loan is there so everybody goes home happy. Mishnah 5 introduces an interesting concept called Son Barzel. Ein Mekavod Son Barzel Yisrael Mipnei Shu Ribit. The Mishnah really is not going to talk about Son Barzel much. The Mishnah is really going to talk about whether or how the issue of loaning on interest affects your dealings with non-Jews. However, it introduces this concept called Son Barzel to sort of segue into the next topic, so we really need to go through what Son Barzel is. Son Barzel is where your investment is guaranteed never to return less than the amount that you put in the first place. So literally, let's say you have, well let's stick with the literal, and let's see whether we can make it work. Let's say you have figurines made out of iron in the shape of sheep. And they're worth $100 a figurine. And everybody knows that iron sheep never lose value. Iron is iron, sheep are sheep, and whatever that value is worth, you can invest it to somebody, they could try to improve the quality, they could try to leverage it for other deals, but the bottom line is when they pay you back for your loan of the iron sheep, they must pay you back at the minimum what the iron sheep is worth. There is zero risk to the investor. In that case, any profit that's being made by the borrower, by the person that you're investing with, that you're now going to pay back the original owner of his iron sheep. So let's say you give him back his iron sheep or the value of the iron sheep, plus $20 that you managed to sell it in, I don't know, India, because they really are desperate for iron sheep. So any money over the top is considered rebate. Now, it's not clear, there's a dispute among the Rishonim, whether this is actually rebate from the Torah, since iron sheep have to be considered like cash, that is any investment that you give, whether it's iron sheep or anything else, where there, and we're not going to go into right now the issue of when an investment is guaranteed payback. One case is an issue with certain women's properties that they bring into a marriage, and the husband is responsible to always give back the face value in the case of divorce. But let's say they're investments, however that works, that are guaranteed at least a one-for-one payment back, and therefore there's no risk. So therefore, any money that you get off the top is as if you lent the guy $100 or an iron sheet worth $100, and if you get $100 and $5 back, since you were guaranteed the $100 in the first place, then the $5 really is considered interest. That's the simple explanation, and we'll stick with that. Now the Mishnah gets on to the topic that it really wanted to discuss, which is the issue of non-Jews. Aval mekavlin tzon barzel min anochrim, you are allowed to accept an investment of tzon barzel, which means this guaranteed investment that when you pay back the profits, you'll have to pay back extra on the top of the guaranteed tzon barzel price. Velovin mehen umalvin otam biribit. And not only that, you're allowed to borrow from a non-Jew for interest and pay back interest, and you're allowed to lend to a non-Jew and pay them back interest. So if a non-Jew pays you $1,000 at 10% interest for yearly, so you pay them back $1,100 at the end. And if you loan a non-Jew, and that's perfectly permissible, and if you loan a non-Jew $1,000 at 10% interest, then he has to pay you back after a year, assuming it's accrued yearly, annually, so he has to pay you back $1,100, and that's perfectly fine, which means the laws that apply to not giving interest and not taking interest Jew to Jew do not apply from Jew to non-Jew or non-Jew to Jew. Not only that, v'chei megeret toshav, and even non-Jew who is living in Israel and has accepted the seven Noahide laws, they also, you can take an interest-based loan from them, and you can loan them money based on interest. Now, you might think that that's not okay, because when a Jew is living, a ger toshav essentially accepts the seven mitzvot of Noah, and one of the mitzvot of Noah, the Noahide laws, is to be honest in trade and business based on the local practices. So therefore, since a Jew can't lend another non-Jew at interest, so you might think the same thing would apply to a ger toshav, and it doesn't. And now I think we really need to talk about interest for the first time, sort of philosophically. And I suggest that you speak to your local rabbi. I'm not an expert on these matters, but nonetheless, I would like to propose the following. Not charging a Jew interest, when the Torah asks us not to charge a Jew interest, is actually not normal, in my humble opinion. And again, I would ask you to speak to other rabbis or teachers and ask them what they think. But when you loan money, interest essentially is the amount that it costs to use money. If I lend you my motorcycle and I charge you $30 a day for the motorcycle, that's $30 essentially is the price that it costs you to use the goods that belong to somebody else. Whether it's for wear or tear, or whether for whatever reason it is, you are absolutely, in Jewish and non-Jewish law, allowed to rent something from somebody and pay a certain amount for the rental in addition to returning the rental. Money is the same thing, and interest is the same thing. Interest essentially is defined as the amount that it costs to rent somebody's money. So when you give money to a bank, you have thousands of investors giving money to a bank. So why do they pay you interest? Today they barely do. But let's say they pay you 5% interest. Why do they pay you 5% interest? Because they collect all of your group's money. They have millions and millions of dollars. They can now use that money en masse to make themselves a big profit. And for the pleasure of using your money, they pay you back the interest. It's a rental fee, essentially, a rental fee of money, which means morally, unless you're charging somebody 32% interest and breaking their kneecaps when they're finished with it, you're not doing something inherently immoral. I'm lending you something that I have, and based on the loan of what you have, you pay me back for the loan. If I loaned you my motorcycle, you would have to give me back my motorcycle in the same pristine condition, and if it wasn't, I could charge for it theoretically. And in addition to that, I get a loaner's fee. So inherently, I would suggest that there's nothing immoral with essentially charging interest on a normal business adventure. So a lot of times people look at this and say, oh, that's not nice, we're treating non-Jews unfairly, because the Jews, we do the right thing by not charging interest, but to non-Jews, we use them any way we want, we charge them interest. I think it's the exact opposite. To a non-Jew, you do the normal thing, which is when you give out something that belongs to you, because you don't get to use it during that time, because somebody else gets an advantage from the goods that they are renting from you, which in this case is a loan of cash, they pay you back a certain percentage, a certain loaner's fee. That's perfectly normal. The Torah wanted to create a certain society among Jews living amongst themselves in Israel to really alleviate all of the tenseness of, oh, you loan me money and now you're indebted to me and I'm indebted to you and I'm gonna have to leverage my money. You'll have to start doing me favors and working for me, all those kind of things. Those kind of things are not immoral, but ultimately they lead to a discomfort among people who are loaning and borrowing from each other. And therefore, since God wanted a more pristine state, so he outlawed interest. However, as I said, interest by itself is not immoral. It's perfectly moral, and not only that, it makes sense. In a normal, we're all Jews in this together sense. In a normal business sense, it doesn't make sense to lend your money and not get back a certain payment from it. And therefore, when it comes to non-Jews, you could do the normal thing and charge or take interest. But when it comes to non-Jews, you can't. And that does not mean we're treating non-Jews badly. It just means we're treating Jewish people in the Jewish homeland extra specially. Finally, the Mishnah says, Malve Yisrael, Ma'otav Shal Nachri Midat Hanachri, Avalo Midat Yisrael. So, if you take a loan from non-Jew at an interest-bearing rate, which you are perfectly allowed to do, another Jew can take over that loan from you. However, only if the non-Jew knows about it, not if the non-Jew doesn't know about it. So essentially, you borrow $1,000 from Anthony at 10% a year. And you either can't pay back or you don't really need the money anymore. So comes Shoshana and she could say, listen, I'll pick up the loan with the interest. That's only okay if the non-Jew knows about it. Because ostensibly what's happening is you're giving back the principal to the non-Jew. And the non-Jew then gives that principal to Shoshana, to the next person, knowing that she's going to wind up paying the interest, and everybody is okay with it because nobody takes a loss. However, you can't without knowledge of the non-Jew doing that, because then essentially you're taking your loan, passing it over to somebody else for interest, and you are not allowed to pass from Jew to Jew an interest-bearing loan.